Life goes on. As always, this is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Life goes on. How often do we think about life going on when some person we love very dearly leaves our company? Whether it's a pet or whether it's a human, it makes no difference. They leave a great big gap, a great big hole. And yet, life goes on. We sometimes think we're going to miss our beloved very greatly when they leave us. We think we're going to not be able to get along at all without them. We'll reach down to pet them in their special place or speak to them as a lovely person in our world. And they're no longer there, but they're in our hearts. They're in our hearts, and they have added to the lumber of our life, making us into the beautiful beings that we are. Yes, Grandma made us into the beautiful beings that we are, and our dog made us into the beautiful being that we are. The cat made us into that beautiful being. So many times we think that that's the end. When someone precious is gone from our presence, we think that's the very end. There's nothing more important in life than to have them here, and now they're gone. And we think, what can we do? How can we live? How can we go on? But life does go on. And within a few days, within a few weeks, within a few years, that person is a memory. That pet is a memory. That life is a memory and will always be with us. And we'll often think back, as my friends in Switzerland who just lost their dog, Samson. Samson was with them a full dog's life. Very wonderful, very powerful. Always a pure bundle of love, and a big bundle of love. Just like my Rex, my golden retriever, is a big bundle of love. Oh, he has to do things that need to be taught to him, to what is right and what is wrong, but children are like that too. Children have to be taught what's right and wrong. And sometimes families, even adults, even grandparents, have to be taught what's right and what's wrong. Sometimes when our grandparents or our elders in our family begin to get elderly, they begin to slow down, and they begin to act in a less responsive way to all of life's pleasures. Dogs, cats, other animals do that too as they age. But when we treat them as though they were always the young puppy, the young kitten, the young person that they were, if we visualize them at all times during their life, at that stage of their life when they were the most charming, the most delightful, the most pettable, the most lovable, then we will have that memory in our hearts always. And isn't that the memory we always want anyhow? When you go to work and you think of your pet at home, and your pet is just doing his thing, sleeping, playing in the yard, doing whatever a pet does when he's left alone. You don't worry about him. You just think, oh, that's my baby. And you just let him be. And when your grandparents or when your elders are having trouble with some problems in their life, whether it's a health problem or an emotional problem, a family problem or whatever, they're all there. When you have anyone in your world who has these circumstances, if you can visualize them as they were, as a young, dynamic, vital person, which is what they truly are in their spirit, only somehow they've lost sight of it. Somehow they've lost sight of it, and in losing sight of our dynamics, of our youthfulness, we also lose sight of our agility, our balance. We lose sight of our happiness. We lose sight of the values in life. Really, we lose sight of the values in life. For the value of life is to live. The value of life is to live a good life. The value of life is to live a happy, fulfilled life. And the only way we can ever live a happy, fulfilled life with our pets, with our elders, with ourselves, is to live in the idea that all is in divine order. Now, we can hear something that can shake our boat and make us feel that all is not in divine order for some reason. And then we can believe that, and we can be very worried about it, and our bodies start responding to that worry, and it begins to have problems. Our body responds to the worries and to the anxieties and to the tensions and to the fears and to those things that really hurt us. Physical hurts heal quickly. Mental hurts take much longer because you don't really know they're going on. Oh, you worry. That's a mental hurt. And you don't want to do that. When Sylvia Mostrom and her husband and son think of Samson, they think of him as a big, black, beautiful dog that goes with them everywhere and is just always a part of the family. And now he has moved on to another dimension of experience, and he'll always be part of that family, because their memory will always bring up the happy things of his presence. When we can always bring up the happy things of our presence, all of the negative things that might happen around us have no power for us, have no power on us, or no power in us. We live in a happy life. Samson is a bundle of joy in Sylvia's heart, always will be. Samson is only a bundle of joy. Now, Samson did dumb things. He did talk things. He did things that he wasn't supposed to do. And he perhaps ate things he wasn't supposed to eat. And he did all sorts of things. But most of the time, he was a fabulous dog. And the few little times when he did things that he wasn't supposed to do, it's just because he wasn't trained. He wasn't taught that that is the thing to do and that is not the thing to do. And because he wasn't taught that is the thing to do and that's not the thing to do, he sometimes did things he shouldn't do. Now, people are like this too. People have anxiety. People have worries. People have fears. People have thoughts that are going to destroy them. Now, we too, must be taught that these kind of thoughts, these kind of antisocial activities that are not beneficial to us, antisocial activities, how about that? They're not beneficial to us. We have to leave them out of our life. Now, when Samson does everything nice, when Rex, my dog, does everything nice, I am just so pleased with him. But when Rex gets after the cat because the cat is fearful of him and he's fearful of the cat, they go at each other. Now, another cat that we've trained Rex with, he is just happy, and that's Sammy. And he just goes with Sammy, and they nose to nose and kiss each other and then go on their way. They have no great desire to play with one another, but whenever Sammy sees Rex, as we're walking up the steps or out on the sidewalk or out on the driveway, Sammy will lay down and wait for Rex to come along and snuggle him and then wait for Rex to pass, and then he gets up and goes his way. Sammy wants to have attention, wants to have affection. Now, Jeannie, she doesn't know our family program very well because she was raised to be an outside cat. And she was raised to be a cat that was handling itself. And Jeannie did very well. But Jeannie started to be an inside cat because Ingeborg wanted her in her bedroom. Ingeborg wanted Jeannie around her. Ingeborg loved Jeannie and wanted to have her as her special friend. Well, now, Rex had never learned to love Jeannie because he had never learned about her. And Jeannie, she could learn to like Rex, but when she ever saw Rex, she would skirt around, she'd run away to the other side, she'd fearfully go away, and Rex caught up on that fear, and so he chased it. Just like Rex would go into a closet, and he'll see a mouse, and pop, he's got that mouse as quick as can be. And he's not a cat, but he's a great big golden retriever. But when he sees something that doesn't belong, he gets there. Now, the cat's feeling of fear or feeling of anxiety is what turns Rex on to being a naughty boy, as we call him. And we want to teach Rex to be a nice boy. I probably should take Jeannie, put Jeannie in a cage and bring her down to the Hermitage and let Rex and Jeannie live in the same house for a while, even though they have their same different compartments. It would give them an opportunity to get to know each other and not be fearful of each other, and also to feel a comfort in each other. And this, perhaps, is what has to be done. Now, the question is, and this is a terrible, terrible, terrible question, do I have the time to take Jeannie to the house, to my home, Hermitage, and have Rex and Jeannie get to know each other? Do I have the time to do this? Do I have the time to do this? Do I have the time to do this? It's not a matter of time. Do I have the love for Jeannie and the love for Rex to teach them to be harmonious with one another? Do I have the love for myself to teach all the pets in my family to be harmonious with one another? Like Ellen and Sylvia and Ingeborg and Rex and Love and Jeannie and Sammy and whoever else may be there. Do I have the love, unconditional love, to take the time to train them to all be loving to one another, to all be harmonious with one another, to all live in balanced harmony with one another? Well, in fact, I'm doing that in many ways, but perhaps I need to do that in another special way with Jeannie and Rex. Now, I don't know about Samson. I'm sure he was a good dog, but perhaps he had some things he liked to chase, too. But mostly he was a people dog and a house dog and a family dog, and he had very good habits. Now, do you have very good habits? Do you have very good attitudes about living your life? Do you have very good... Well, then you don't have many illnesses, if any. You don't have diseases. You don't have inharmony in your family. You don't have death. Death? How can you get away from death? Well, you get away from death by knowing that life goes on. And if you think that life goes on, then life goes on. You're not anxiety-driven, anxiety-prone, anxiety thought that life ends at any point in time. You just always live your life from the point of view that life goes on. Now, are you ready to know that life goes on? Are you ready to understand that life goes on? Then you love unconditionally. Unconditional love has no possession about it. It's just enjoying it while you have it. When you are playing with your dog, enjoy that love while you have it. Because 10 minutes later, you're going to be doing something else. You're going to be driving your car and going to town and going here or doing this and that. And your dog won't be right there with you. Life goes on. And your dog is alive. And so you're not really worried about your dog. Your dog is healthy. You're not really worried about your dog. Your dog is wealthy. You don't really worry about your dog. But whenever death comes, then you say, oh, is that terrible? I'm going to miss him so. Well, you didn't miss him when you were there. You say you miss your father or your mother when they pass. And are you standing in their apron all the time? Are you in their back pocket all the time? Are you near them every moment? Are you spending every moment of your life in surrounded by their presence and in their presence? No. You live in the delight of your heart, in the memory of your heart, knowing all of the good things that you all did to get together, all of the wonderful things you did together. Life goes on. And so, as it comes a time to let go of a pet or a person, are we ready to just know that life goes on instantly and say, adios, amigos, have a wonderful journey to your next adventure, whatever it may be, however exciting it may be, however glorious it may be. And thanks a lot for having been here in my life and bringing your presence and your magic and your goodness into my life. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Did you say that to your mom and dad? If you lost your mom and dad? Why do we say lost? What a silly thing to say. They have moved on to another dimension. We haven't lost them. They got on the bus and they went off to another trip. Now, parents expect their children to leave home. At least healthy parents do. And their children leave home. And the children go off into adventures. And sometimes they write and sometimes they don't. Sometimes they go off into the service, into the Army and the Navy and the Marines and the Air Corps and all the other possibilities. And when they're in the Merchant Marines or they're in these various activities, they don't come home for months. They don't come home for sometimes years. And sometimes on the battlefield, they don't come home at all. But the memory, the delight, the pure joy of their presence is with you always. It's not, that's the way they used to do it. It's that as you go through an experience and the memory comes up of the joy of another participation in it, you say, gee, that's great. Just like my dad used to do. Yep. Just like my mom used to do. Just like my sisters used to do. Yeah. Just like my brothers used to do. Yeah. Just like my teacher did. Oh, yeah. I had the greatest teacher in the world. And I was, oh, she was an old lady. She was 23, you know, and I was in grade school. And she was just an old, old lady, an old, old lady. And my goodness, how young that lady got to after a while. But in our heart, in our memory, we will always remember her as an old lady, but a nice old lady, teaching our class in grade school. And we called her old, but she was just 23 or something of that nature. Our memory, our heart, our life goes on. And when we can have life go on with a joyous delight, when our children go off to be on their own, to get married, to have families, to go to service, to go travel around the world, to do their thing, when we let them go and surround them with our pure white light of love, unconditional love, they have a joyous journey and we have a joyous life. For the only way that life can go on harmonious for you and for me is when we let go and let it be. This day, claim that for yourself and enjoy the most wonderful life in the world, your own. Life goes on. Might as well enjoy it. I love you. I love you. I love you.